This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Ready to retaliate. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Israel is weighing its options as it prepares to mount a military response to Iran's unprecedented missile strike on Saturday. Herzi Halevi is in charge of the Israeli army.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
Correspondent Richard Engel continues our coverage from Jerusalem.
Israel's war cabinet is meeting yet again today for the third straight day. But Israeli officials are being very close-lipped about how, when, where, and to what extent Israel will act against Iran.
President Biden is urging Israel not to retaliate against Iran, and reporter Madeline Rivera tells us why.
The U.S. is worried a retaliation could cause the war in the Middle East to spread. Iran is threatening its actions could be immediate, stronger, and more extensive if Israel does conduct more strikes.
Meanwhile, pro-Palestinian protesters blocked bridges, disrupted traffic, and delayed flights in major U.S. cities yesterday. More on that from Lauren Green with Fox News.
It was an assault on America in America, as one protester burned the nation's flag while another protester proudly waves the Palestinian flag. This was a microcosm of the massive anti-Israel protests taking place in New York yesterday, one of the largest organized since the October 7th attack on Israel. Over Manhattan, near the New York Stock Exchange, protesters chanted calls to eliminate Israel, with one even seen with the flag of Hezbollah. Other protesters reportedly shouted, "Death to America."
The demonstrators were demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and for the U.S. to stop funding Israel. Dozens of arrests were made in cities like San Francisco, Seattle, and New York. Jury selection continues today in the first criminal prosecution of a former U.S. president. So far, no jurors have been seated in the hush money trial of Donald Trump in New York. Here's correspondent Matt Piper.
Trump must be in court every day of the trial and will be subject to arrest if he fails to show up. At the end of the day Monday, the judge denied Trump's request to let him attend arguments next week before the Supreme Court over his claim of presidential immunity in one of his federal cases.
Trump's trial expected to last a couple of months. That means he could miss his son Barron's high school graduation. Attorney Alina Haba.
This is political. It's election interference. You're not even allowing a father, never mind a former president, but a father attend his son's graduation.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds thinks the legal drama swirling about Trump could backfire on Democrats at the ballot box come November.
I think the impact of these trials is going to be the same impact from the indictments. People are going to look at this. They're going to say, why are the Democrats and Joe Biden and these crazy DAs wasting our time with these stupid trials? It's going to backfire this November.
Dozens of jurors were dismissed, or potential jurors, I should say, were dismissed yesterday on the opening day of the hush money trial after admitting they could not be impartial. The U.S. House sends to the Senate articles of impeachment today against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, not a fan of that move.
As I've said repeatedly, impeachment should never be used to settle a policy disagreement. That would set a horrible precedent for the Congress.
In February, House Republicans impeached Mayorkas over his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. He's accused of willful and systemic refusal to comply with federal immigration law. In Baltimore, divers have recovered the body of a fourth victim from the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Two more construction workers remain missing in the water. Former NCAA star Caitlin Clark is now headed to the WNBA.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
No surprise there. The ex-Hawkeye dazzled audiences this past season with her scoring prowess and competitive spirit.
Once you actually see your name like on the board and the commissioner says your name and you get to enjoy it with your family, like it's a whole different feeling and just a lot of pride, like getting to share that with them and just thankful.
Clark broke the scoring record for both women's and men's college basketball this past season. And they lit the Olympic flame today in Greece. It'll go on an 11-day journey through that country before it's handed over to organizers of the Paris Summer Games. The Summer Olympics in Paris begin Friday, July 26th. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, Scranton Joe, budget deal, and cell phone ban.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. A terrific Tuesday underway, but some showers are in the forecast. Down the road a bit, we'll have forecast details in 10.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. Let's check the stories making news where you live next. President Biden in the swing state of Pennsylvania today. He's got a campaign stop this afternoon in his hometown of Scranton. Meantime, NBC News says Erie County, Pennsylvania, will be one of seven key areas in the country that could decide the 2024 election. It's being labeled the ultimate blue-collar swing county. Barack Obama won there in 2012 by 16 points. Donald Trump carried Erie County by 2 points in 2016, and Joe Biden scored a one-point win in 2020. New York lawmakers have reached a conceptual deal with the governor on a more than $237 billion state budget. That's $4 billion more than what the governor proposed back in January.
We accomplished all of this without raising any taxes on New Yorkers.
Governor Hochul says housing issues, school aid, and crime-fighting initiatives were the key sticking points in the negotiations.
This budget is a blueprint for a safer, more affordable, more livable New York.
As part of the deal, the state will develop housing on SUNY property and at former prisons. There will also be a concerted effort to crack down on illegal cannabis shops and retail theft. The state budget was due more than 2 weeks ago. Syracuse, New York continues to mourn the loss of two cops killed in the line of duty during a shootout on Sunday night. City Police Officer Michael Jensen and Onondaga County Sheriff's Deputy Michael Husak were both shot by an AR-15 rifle. Syracuse Police Chief Joseph Cecil.
All of us on the police department and in the community are feeling sadness, loss, and anger, myself included. We will be feeling these emotions for days, weeks, months, and years. You can trust me on this. But you can trust me on this as well. We will get through it. We will get through it as we always have, as a family. Because that's what the law enforcement is, a family.
David Stott lives in the neighborhood where the shooting happened and says you cannot help but be overcome with emotion.
You cry. Here's a person that's in my neighborhood trying to make sure that nobody gets hurt in our neighborhood. And you immediately think about their family.
The cop killer, 33-year-old Christopher Murphy, died in an exchange of gunfire with police. Those fallen officers were investigating reports of a stolen vehicle when the shots rang out. A jury has awarded $95 million to the father of a man who was beaten to death at the Erie County, New York Holdings Center back in 2012.
Richard Metcalf died 12 years ago after he was arrested on a burglary charge. In 2016, a state report indicated that jail deputies placed a spit mask on him, but after he chewed through it, a pillowcase was tied over his head. The report states the mask was so tight by the time it was cut off, Metcalf had stopped breathing and his heart had stopped. He was also severely beaten by officers. The county medical examiner ruled his death a homicide. The county and five deputies were found liable for his death and are the ones responsible for paying up.
Kelsey Anderson with WIVB Television in Buffalo. Teachers and staff in the Jamesville DeWitt School District in central New York could be losing their jobs. The district's facing a $3 million budget deficit, and as a result, 14 educators teachers could be unemployed by the end of the academic year. A Pennsylvania politician's proposed doing away with cell phones in school. Republican State Senator Ryan Aumet says those devices are causing a lot of problems in the classroom.
It's led, quite frankly, to a rewiring of the brain among adolescents in a really troubling way.
Senator Aumet cites a correlation between cell phone use and mental health problems in kids.
And it's directly related to more and more students having direct access to smartphones and to social media.
He wants cell phones locked away in special lockers during the school day. Aumet says teen depression rates have skyrocketed, while math and reading scores have plummeted in the midst of the social media revolution. The four-year search for a missing Buffalo boy has come to a sad end. The remains of 12-year-old Jalen Griffin were found in a residence this week, and the case is being treated as a homicide. Griffin was last seen alive in August of 2020 after going to the grocery store, but he never returned home. Legislation in the New York Senate would grant paid family leave to those grieving the loss of an unborn child.
Advocates say reproductive laws can have a tremendous physical and emotional impact on families, especially those who must go back to work early in the grieving process. The legislation would amend workers' compensation law by allowing families suffering any reproductive loss to qualify for paid family leave. The CDC reports one in four pregnancies ends in loss. The bill passed the Senate unanimously in 2022, but was not brought to the Assembly floor for a vote. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Two dozen exotic pets, including geckos, a tortoise, and snakes, discovered abandoned in a building in downtown Rochester. The tenant had recently been evicted from that property.
The investigation came to a headway when the landlord notified us that there had been an eviction and a lockout notice, and that animals had been left behind.
Ashley Zays, the director of communications for Lollipop Farm, an animal sanctuary in Western New York.
My understanding is that this location was presenting as a exotic pet rescue, and so in that case, you know, there could be this many animals. Again, though, it's really about care. And then it's also about the fact that they did get evicted and left the animals behind.
Lollipop Farm is taking care of those abandoned animals. A Christian counselor from Horseheads, New York, is hosting a conference for widows on June 1st at the Chambers Wesleyan Camp in Beaver Dam.
You know, the whole point is to get to a new normal.
Yeah.
And that takes years.
Bonnie Kellogg lost her husband to cancer nearly a decade ago. Today she counsels her clients to befriend the grief.
All of us as widows, we want our light back. We can't have it totally because our partners are gone. Mm-hmm. But I know that with Christ, walking through it with him, that my light will come back. It just takes time.
Kellogg says grief groups are hard to find in rural parts of New York and Pennsylvania.
People get afraid when they see the weight that a person is carrying from the grief. And so, you know, I don't mind bringing a meal, but, you know, they don't know what else to do. And I think the biggest thing, it's just listening. Going and visit and listening. You don't have to come up with an answer.
The Widow's Window Grief Seminar is set for Saturday, June 1st from 9 to 4:30 at the Chambers Wesleyan Camp in Beaver Dams, New York. The iconic radio voice of the New York Yankees is stepping away from the microphone.
The Yankees announced on Monday that play-by-play announcer John Sterling is retiring after 36 seasons with the team due to health concerns. The 85-year-old Sterling had scaled back his workload in recent seasons. He called more than 5,000 consecutive Yankees games from September 1989 to July 2019. Sterling will be remembered for his signature home run calls and his Yankees victory call. The Yanks will honor Sterling during a pregame ceremony on Saturday, April 20th. Paul DeCastro, New York.
The Buffalo Sabres are saying goodbye to head coach Don Granato. He was fired this morning. The Sabres missed the playoffs again this season for the 13th year in a row. We've got more sports next. It's the 2-Minute Drill on Family Life.
afternoon. I'm Randy Snaily. Bob, the Islanders are in. New York clinched a playoff spot after beating the Devils 4-1 last night in New Jersey. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Kyle Palmieri, Brock Nelson, and Kyle McLean all found the back of the net for the Isles. The Rangers shut out Ottawa 4-0 to clinch the President's Trophy in their regular season finale at Madison Square Garden. Scoring for the Blue Shirts were Jack Roslovic, Adam Fox, Alexis Lafreniere, and Artemi Panarin. The Rangers' 55 wins and 114 points on the season, both franchise records. Elsewhere, the Sabres were 4-2 winners over Tampa Bay, and the Penguins likewise won by a 4-2 score. They beat Nashville. To baseball, the Yankees didn't fare too well against Chris Bassett in Toronto. Bassett went 6 1/3 innings, allowed only one run. The Jays knocked off New York 3-1. The Pirates scored 3 runs in the top of the 6th, but the Mets answered with 3 of their own in the bottom of the inning. And then Harrison Bader hit a 2-run double in the 8th inning to break the deadlock, and New York went on to win it 6-3. The Phillies went extra innings against the Rockies. Christian Pache was the hero. He walked it off with the Phils with an RBI single in the bottom of the 10th. In the National League, the Padres over the Brewers 7-3. The Giants edge Miami 4-3. In 11 innings, the Cubs over the D-backs 3-2. The Dodgers fell to the Nationals 6-4. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, not really. Caitlin Clark, number one pick in the WNBA draft. That is a look at sports.
Yeah, even I saw that one coming. Thank you, Randy. And still to come on the Noon Report, all eyes on Israel, legal drama for Donald Trump, and articles of impeachment in the U.S. Senate.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look in an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Back in 2015, pro-life activist David DeLeiden of the Center for Medical Progress released a series of undercover videos showing high-paid executives from Planned Parenthood attempting to sell body parts from aborted babies. Their actions were appalling and indefensible. So naturally, Planned Parenthood, pro-abortion activists, and media outlets did everything possible to discredit DeLeiden. The videos were edited, they said, even after DeLeiden had released full unedited versions of them. DeLeiden was sued for allegedly using a fake ID and recording conversations without consent. What was never denied, mainly because it couldn't be denied, were the facts that Planned Parenthood execs clearly stated they'd sell the remains of babies killed in their clinics. One even joked that she hoped to purchase a Lamborghini with the profits. In the years since those first recordings, abortion activists, including within state governments, have stalked DeLeiden with legal accusations. For example, the state of Texas, which cleared Planned Parenthood of all accusations of wrongdoing, indicted DeLeiden for allegedly using a fake driver's license and, incredibly, for allegedly trying to buy fetal body parts. Those charges have since been dropped. And Planned Parenthood also sued DeLeiden for recording conversations with their executives. And a circuit court ordered him to pay nearly $2 million in damages. Then, in 2016, investigators raided DeLeiden's house in California, where he still faces a pending criminal trial for the undercover recordings. Planned Parenthood, which has repeatedly confirmed under oath that what their executives had been recorded saying was in fact accurate, has never been held criminally responsible for what they admit. In other words, those who committed the crimes go free, while the guy who caught them, he's the one that gets in trouble. And yet, despite all the legal threats, a decade of being personally maligned in the media, and even the threat of jail time, DeLeiden courageously continues to expose Planned Parenthood's unethical, illegal, and grisly trafficking of body parts. In fact, just a few weeks ago, DeLeiden released the results of a new investigation into Planned Parenthood's dealing with the University of California, San Diego. According to the report, the university purchases body parts of aborted babies from Planned Parenthood. And part of the exchange is that Planned Parenthood is granted the intellectual property rights of any patents the university is awarded for the research it conducts on the bodies that they purchase from Planned Parenthood. This trafficking scandal was exposed by direct correspondence between Planned Parenthood and UC San Diego, which DeLeiden legally obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. In a signed contract, Planned Parenthood requested, and I quote here, valuable consideration from UC San Diego in exchange for their offer of fetal body parts. In other words, they're asking for a quid pro quo. In this case, patents and intellectual property rights. Exchanging human body parts for valuable consideration? Yes, that's illegal. Now, what would be fascinating, if it weren't so horrific, are just how, in the correspondence, Planned Parenthood and UC San Diego try, albeit unsuccessfully, to thread some kind of needle between research and the commodification of the preborn. Neither party admits that the so-called goods being exchanged for human bodies, and yet the documents include an itemized list of what is actually for sale. A lung, a brain, a bone. This is human trafficking. Please pray for Dalyden and the many others who work tirelessly to end this evil. Please join them by speaking out. Please join them by supporting their work and the work that's being done by others on behalf of the most vulnerable among us. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. And for more resources that look like a Christian today, please visit Breakpoint.org.
Thank you, John. Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine and mild. High temperatures ranging generally at or above 60 for most. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temps 30s to low 40s. Then for tomorrow and Thursday, fair amount of cloudiness. A few showers will arrive tomorrow from west to east. A few showers on Thursday. High temperatures both days, mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price. Here's what's happening Tuesday, April 16th. Well, this hasn't happened in 148 years. The U.S. House today delivers to the Senate impeachment articles for a cabinet secretary.
The Biden border catastrophe is the number one priority of House Republicans, and it remains the number one priority of the American people.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says the Senate must hold a trial accusing the head of Homeland Security of dereliction of duty. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
11 impeachment managers are expected to walk from the House to the Senate to present articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The House voted to impeach Mayorkas in February for his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. Senators are expected to be sworn in for a potential trial Wednesday. Nicole Killian, Washington.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's considering his next move as tensions with Iran remain high following that brazen missile strike by Tehran over the weekend. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
Netanyahu has met with his war cabinet, and Israeli military chief of staff Herzi Halevi says there will be a response.
We remain at our highest level of readiness. We will choose our response accordingly.
There is growing international pressure on Israel not to respond, and Iran says any retaliation will be met with a response from Tehran in a matter of seconds.
Iran lobbed a barrage of missiles at Israel on Saturday. Correspondent Trey Yink stood next to one that was shot down.
The sheer size of this missile, 36 feet long, and this is about 70% of the entire missile that was launched from Iranian territory. We also know that there was a 500-kilogram warhead on top of this missile. That's about half a ton of explosives, and it was one of more than 110 ballistic missiles launched toward Israel over the weekend.
Stateside, there were dozens of pro-Arab protests in major U.S. cities Monday that disrupted traffic on bridges, highways, and at the airport.
From the Brooklyn Bridge in New York to California's Golden Gate.
I'm sympathetic, and I understand the cause. I do. I just wish I'd have left 20 minutes earlier. I'd have missed all of this.
Reporter Steve Cafin talking to a motorist there who seemed a bit frustrated with all the demonstrations, those protests demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to U.S. aid for Israel. The jury selection process continues today in New York City at the hush money trial of Donald Trump.
The former president is accused of falsifying his internal business records in order to bury evidence he had an adult film actress paid off just days before the 2016 election, an allegation he denies.
Dozens of New Yorkers summoned for jury duty were dismissed yesterday after admitting they could not be impartial during what's expected to be a two-month trial.
This is going to be really challenging for him. He has to sit in this courtroom 4 days a week at least for the next about 6 weeks. We already saw yesterday he was sitting there with his eyes closed. This is going to be very laborious for him and very frustrating because he can't be on the campaign
trial.
Reporter Katrina Kaufman. Here's Trump attorney Alina Habba.
There's no chance of a fair trial here. Remember, just because it's a jury doesn't mean that the judge can't sway them to go one way or another.
The judge has threatened to arrest Trump if he doesn't show up for each day of the trial. And New York lawmakers have reached a conceptual deal with Governor Hochul on a more than $237 billion budget.
Hochul said the budget will help deal with the migrant and housing crisis with more funding.
To develop over 15,000 new housing units on state-owned sites, like former correctional facilities, areas near commuter rail, and underlies SUNY properties.
The governor also said more funding will go towards protecting tenants' rights and combating retail theft. In addition, more money will help crack down on illegal cannabis shops and help prosecute domestic abusers. Lisa G., New York.
And NASA's confirming that an object which crashed through the roof of a Florida home last month came from the International Space Station. A cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of batteries tore a hole through the roof of the home in Naples, Florida, on March 8th. The pallet was expected to burn up in Earth's atmosphere, but it did not. This is the Noon Report on the Family Life Radio Network.
Imagine teenagers memorizing scripture. Wide, big swaths of scripture. We had some of the national tournament-bound Bible quizzers join us in the Family Life radio studios recently.
To prepare for a Bible quiz, usually I set before the season starts my goals for memorizing for the year, and then quiz by quiz, I memorize the material I need for that specific quiz. So it takes a lot of time just to memorize and then also to review and keep it up. The material we're memorizing changes. This year is Paul's epistles, so I decided to memorize about half of them. Last year was the book of Acts, and I also did about half of that.
At first, when I first started Bible quizzing, the Sorters and Curious invited us, and my mom told us, wow, that is amazing. I'm like, I want to do this so bad. I knew I could do it because through him, I can do all things, and I knew that it was what God wanted us to do. It's really tough, but it's worth it in the end.
Tell us about the benefits of that.
My dad will be talking to us at dinner. We'll have family dinners, and we'll be talking about one specific thing. I'll be like, oh my gosh, I know a verse about that. Like, say we're talking about God's grace. I'm like, Ephesians 2:8. I know that one. It's really cool just to be able to list those off, not only in family dinners, but also being able to witness to others. It's really cool just to have that with you.
Let's talk about the skill it takes to doing that. You are memorizing big, giant New Testament letters, paragraph by paragraph by paragraph. Does memorization like that come to any of you naturally?
Not really, no. Honestly, it just takes a lot of work because you have to sit there, and it's a lot of effort and dedication to be able to memorize the amount that you have to memorize to do extremely well.
The first year, I was very bad at memorizing. It took so much work just to do 8 chapters. And now I'm able, over the years, I've been able to memorize the whole thing. And it doesn't take me as long as it used to. I never thought I could do what I've been doing, which is really crazy.
What happens in the questions, the answers, the scoring?
An absolute increase in heart rate. yeah, just getting that first question at Nationals is the best feeling of all time. And you just get to hang out with friends and have a good time.
Give us an example of the questions and the answers that are a part of this. It's very different from Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune here.
Typically, who, what, when, where, why, out of the verse, word perfect.
So your answer is 1 Corinthians 6:12. You know those Bible verses. Is that unique among people your age to be able to memorize scripture that way?
That's the only teens I know, basically.
What are the benefits that you each get out of being a part of Bible quizzing?
Stronger relationships with other people you already know who are related to Bible quizzing. Scripture for life to be in your brain.
Ta-da! I've got a scripture that applies to my life circumstance. My guess is you don't even have to wait 20 or 40 years. That happens for you where you are in teenage
I've been blessed to have the opportunity to speak at a few churches now for quite some time, and currently I'm going through a message series on Titus, which is what I memorized this year. To be able to have that already inside me and then to use that to encourage the congregation, this last message that I spoke on, we focused on Titus 1:9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. And just encouraging everyone to hold firm to the word, because it's such a comfort to us to have that word.
You're heading off to a major tournament.
It's just fun because it strengthens your relationships even more. And it's so fun because you're on the bus for like 2 or 4 days with all your friends. You're quizzing more. I've been there once last year to St. Louis. It's just, we should get more people involved because it's really good.
My guess is that going to nationals, the hanging out with other people who have been through the same process where they are in Oregon or Arizona or whatever, do you get much time to hang out with those folks too?
Yeah, there's a lot of hangout time between the actual quizzes and in the mornings and in the evenings. There's also fun rallies that they do, and it's just a great time. You get to hang out with people, hear good messages.
Are you in a good mindset when you go to, whether it's something local or something where people across the nation are coming from?
Two words, adrenaline pumping.
Great. Thank you all for being with us today on Family Life.
Great job, Greg, and some amazing young minds right there. This is the Noon Report for a Tuesday on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Friendly high pressure is the culprit or the friend that is sponsoring our lovely day today. That high will give way, though, to a front that will deliver some showers tomorrow and Thursday. Showers may linger Friday, but then it should clear for a decent, albeit cool, weekend. For this afternoon, plenty of sunshine and mild. High temperatures ranging generally at or above 60 for most. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temps 30s to low 40s. Then for tomorrow and Thursday, a fair amount of cloudiness. A few showers will arrive tomorrow from west to east. Be a few showers on Thursday. High temperatures both days, mid-50s to the middle 60s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, a book returned to a Colorado library has quite a story to tell, as we find out from Family Life's Brian Querry.
More than 100 years after it was due, it's back home. I'm talking about a copy of the book Ivanhoe by Walter Scott that was due to be returned to a library in Fort Collins, Colorado on February 13th, 1919. Yes, that means it's been gone from the library for 105 years. Anna Claire Crumpton, digital communications specialist for the library, said the book came to the library after being discovered unexpectedly.
It came to us from an unnamed woman who it was passed along from her brother, who found it in their mom's belongings in Kansas.
And after 105 years, it's still in great condition. Luckily, the library is fee-free, or the late fees in today's money would be around $14,000. Staff hope the special book can be displayed at a local history museum or in a special spot at the library for others to check out. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, speaking of checking out, Brian, it's time for us to check out. That is all the time we have today, Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.